And so sure enough, the next day, they even woke up. They looked outside, out of their tents, and they said, look at that. What is that out there in the Midbar? Manhu. What is that? Manhu means what is it? It looked like snow. Hey, did it snow last night? Hey, it's not cold, it's warm, it's nice. How could it snow? In the Midbar it snows? It looks like snow. It looked like there was white snow all around. And they said, what is it? Manhu. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is the food that Hashem has sent to us from the Shemayim. Everyone should go and gather it up and bring it back, and you'll eat it throughout the day, and it'll be enough for the day. Well, what bracha do we make on that food, Moshe? We never saw that before. Well, Moshe said, you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Hamaitzi lechem min hashamayim. Because bread from the earth, because bread from the ground, from the earth, regular bread, you say Hamaitzi lechem min haaretz. Hashem brings out bread from the aretz, from the ground. This is from the shamayim, so you say Hamaitzi lechem min hashamayim. And so they gathered it up, and they brought it to their tent. I guess they washed, and they made hamaitz lechem in a shemayim, and the family sat down to eat. And the little boy says, "Oi, it's so delicious. It tastes just like chocolate cake." Mmm. And his little sister said, "It doesn't taste like chocolate cake. Mine tastes like a strawberry cupcake." And another brother said, "What do you mean? Mine tastes like pizza." And another kid says, "Mine tastes like French fries. What do you mean?" And another one of the kids said, "Mine tastes like ice cream." And another one said, "Mine tastes like lollies." And Tati said, "What are you talking about? Mine tastes like chicken." And Mommy says, "Mine tastes like delicious vegetables." Wait a minute. We're all eating the same thing. How could it taste like all these things? And they found out that whatever you're thinking about, whatever food you're thinking about, except for a certain few things. But if you want it to taste like a certain thing, if you're thinking about that thing, that's exactly how the man tasted. Oy, they enjoyed the man. It was so delicious. It was wonderful. And if you didn't have any particular thing in your head about how it should taste, there was a certain way it tasted like a cake fried in honey. Like some kind of a delicious cake, sort of a honey-flavored cake. And this is what they ate. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, remember, at the end of the day, you must spill out the rest, because tomorrow morning you will get again. And the Yidden went, they took their bowls. By the end of the day, they had plenty for the day. And it was interesting, because a person that took too much in their bowl, by the time they got home, it went down, and it was just as much as the bowl. And a person that took too little, he took only a little bit in his bowl, by the time he got home, it grew, and it was a whole bowl. And they spilled out the man in the Midbar. When the man fell, when the man came in the Midbar, there was like a huge, huge wall, a gigantic mountain of man. Tremendous amount. Now, even when the Yidden, 3 million people, took 3 million bowls, and they filled up their bowls, each one for what they needed that day, when they came back to their tents, there was so much man left over, it was still a tremendous mountain. Because the Eibishter gave extra man. What happened to this man that they did not take in the morning? When the morning went on and it got a little bit warmer, like in the desert, as you know, it gets very hot, the sun is shining, the man melted. As the man melted, it went into a river and made a river, because the man itself just melted and became a river, and the river started flowing in the Midbar. All of a sudden, a river of man. Now, it looked like water after it melted, but it was really the man. Now, the animals in the Midbar, and the animals, wherever that river went, because it probably flowed out of the Midbar also to somewhere else, where there are animals living, so they went to drink from this river. Oh, very nice. A river for us to drink from. And the animals are drinking from the river. Now, the Goyim, in the places around where those animals lived, would catch the animals, and they would eat them, just like they always ate animals. They would catch them and trap them, or hunt them, or whatever. And they started eating the meat, and all of a sudden they noticed a big difference, a big change from what the meat used to taste like. And they couldn't figure out why until they found out that the animals that drank from these certain rivers that were coming from the Midbar were the most delicious food they ever ate in their lives. And they said, why do these animals taste so delicious and regular animals that don't eat, other animals that don't eat from these rivers don't taste so delicious? And they discovered that these rivers were coming from the Mon. And they saw, oi, from the rivers come out delicious food. And the rivers come from the Mon. And the Mon comes from Hashem. Ooh, Hashem is very great. Hashem is very special. They also knew about Hashem from this. At the end of the day, there were two Yidden that did not spill out their mon. Dasan and Aviram. Remember the troublemakers, Dasan and Aviram? Yes, they went to tell Moshe. They did not spill out the mon. They said in their tent, what if Hashem doesn't give tomorrow anything? We'll be starving. Why should we be starving? Anyway, who's this? Who is Moshe Rabbeinu anyway? He always knows from Hashem what to do. Maybe he's making it up. Who says that we can't keep it for tomorrow? Let's keep ours for tomorrow. And we'll wake up in the morning, we'll have a good breakfast. And probably the other Jews will be hungry because they won't get anything. I mean, who says it's going to come tomorrow? Hey, one time it happened. Who says tomorrow it's going to happen? Let's keep them on. And they put it under a blanket in their tent and they went to sleep with smiles on their faces, thinking how smart they are. That they're going to have food in the morning. And he didn't listen to what Moshe Rabbeinu said. All of a sudden, the next morning, people woke up in the morning like this. What is that smell? Mommy, what stinks? Something stinks. Daddy says, what's that horrible smell I smell? I don't know. Oh, something smells horrible. And they go out of their tent. And their neighbors also are outside of the tent. Oh, what's that terrible smell? Oh, yuck. Something stinks, Mommy. What is it? And everybody's going out of their tent with their noses. Ay, 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 something smells horrible. Wait a minute. If we turn this way, it's stronger. It must be coming from a tent somewhere over here. And they start going in the direction of this horrible smell. Until finally they got to the tent of Dasan and Aviram. And all of a sudden there's a crowd of so many Yidden there. What is this horrible smell coming from this tent? What is this? And sure enough, Dasan and Aviram also, of course, had smelled the smell. They couldn't stand it. They came out of the tent. Something horrible's in our tent. And somebody else said, well, can we go in and find out what it is? Well, I guess so. I can't go back into the tent. It smells so bad. And they go into the tent. They lifted up the blanket and they found worms and bugs and cockroaches and water bugs and all kinds of yucky spiders and different kind of ants. And I don't know, maybe uncles also, all kinds of bugs over there crawling around. And there was rotten mon left over from yesterday. The mon had gone rotten and the bugs are crawling around in it. And it smelled. Who left over the mon? They weren't supposed to leave it over. Look what happened to it. It made such a horrible, smelly thing. Oh, it's Dasan and Aviram. They left over the mon. You weren't supposed to do that. Now, Kinalach, the Yidden were supposed to believe in Hashem and trust in Hashem that each and every day Hashem will give them their food. Not that they're supposed to put it away for later. That means they're saving it up because what's going to be tomorrow? Hashem won't take care of them. They have to save it up themselves. That was the test. Hashem wanted them to feel that each and every day, Hashem takes care of us. And the man is still coming in different ways, that each and every day Hashem takes care of us and gives us what we need. It's not exactly the same lechem and hashamayim that they used to eat, but each and every day Hashem takes care of us for what we need for that time. Now, there were three kinds of ways the man used to come. For some people, it came right on their doorstep, right outside of their tent. It came right to them, and it was ready to eat. As soon as they woke up, they didn't have to go anywhere. It was right there waiting for them on their doorstep or on their tent step, right outside of their tent. And some people, now, who were these people? These were the tzaddikim that had a strong emunah, a strong believing, and a strong betachayin, and they said, of course Hashem will take care of us. Hashem is going to take care of us each and every day, and Hashem is watching us, and Hashem knows what we need and where we are, and even in the middle of a desert, of course Hashem will take care of us. These people had right outside of their doorstep. Then there were people that said, wait a minute, Hashem, maybe He's not going to take care of us. Maybe He's not going to remember us. Maybe He's just going to leave us out here by ourselves and He won't take care of us. When these people woke up, they were also hungry. And they looked outside of the doorstep. There was no man. And they looked into the desert. Hey, I think way, way far away, I think I see some of that man. Let's go get it. They took their bowls, and they had to go way far away in the midbar to try to find it. And then finally they found it, and even when they found it, it wasn't ready to eat. They had to do certain things to prepare it, to make it ready to eat. Those are the people that did not have strong emunah and strong betachin. And then there were a third kind of people that were in the middle, not exactly so strong, but not exactly so weak. Then there were certain people that were not exactly so strong and not exactly so weak. So they didn't get the man right on their doorstep, but they didn't have to go far, far away. They went somewhere in the middle, and that's how they got their man. Now it says in Sfarim, the same thing as now. The person that has strong betachin in Hashem, Hashem helps them in a special way to get what they need. A person that does not trust in Hashem and they have doubts in Hashem, it's much harder to get what they need. And then some people are in the middle. Now, Ken Allah, the man was also a test of believing in Hashem. Why can't they leave over? Why can't they just, you know, save for tomorrow? Because you know what that means? Saving for tomorrow means, I don't know what's going to be tomorrow, so I'm going to save up, because maybe tomorrow I won't get. Now, do we believe that Hashem can also give also tomorrow if He gave today? Or do we say, Hashem gave today, but I don't know if He can give tomorrow, maybe He can't. Is that the right way? Or is the right way to say, look, Hashem gave me today. Hashem helped me yesterday. So Hashem can also help me tomorrow. Am I worried about tomorrow? If I don't have anything left right now, do I worry about tomorrow? Now you should know, the way of most people is to save till tomorrow. I have some, I'm worried about tomorrow, I'm saving. That's just the way of people. Most people, they leave money in their house because they say, look, today I bought things, but I'll need things tomorrow, so I'll save money for tomorrow. The Baal Shem Tov, Ken Allah, and also other tzaddikim had a minhag that they would never leave a penny in their house at night. At the end of the day, whatever they had left, they would give for tzedakah, because poor people needed the money now. They said, how can I keep money in my house that I didn't use yet, and I'm worried about tomorrow, if there are poor people right now that need money to go and buy food that they need now? They gave the tzedakah. What about them? They say, tomorrow Hashem will help me. Whatever I need, Hashem will help me tomorrow. Why do I have to save till tomorrow? The same Hashem that knows about tomorrow can also give me what I need for tomorrow. And I will give my money to poor people today. In fact, one time, Kenelach, the Baal Shem Tov was in shul, and he was davening, and he felt that he could not have kavanah in davening. You know, usually a person tries, and especially a tzaddik like the Baal Shem Tov, when they're davening, they're not only saying words, they're thinking about Hashem, they're thinking about the words, they're thinking about all kinds of things that the words are saying. It's called kavanas. And usually the Baal Shem Tov daven with great kavanah, concentrating on the davening. And this particular day, the Baal Shem Tov had very big problems with his kavanah. All kinds of other things were falling into his head. And he felt very bothered in his davening. And he said, something is wrong. Something is holding back my davening. Something is disturbing my davening. Now, it wasn't just like somebody's making noise in the room or something like that. By the Baal Shem Tov, he didn't care about that. Something, a neshama thing, a ruchniyastika thing was bothering him. He went home and he asked his wife, is there money in the house that was kept overnight? Was there money in the house? Maybe you kept money in the house overnight. And sure enough, she said, yes, I saved some money because I want to go shopping later. So instead of giving the money away, all of the money, they kept money that night, and it was still there in the house, which was just saved and not used. And the Baal Shem Tov says, immediately we have to give the money for tzedakah. And she says, what about shopping? Well, later when you go shopping, Hashem should help. You'll have money later. But right now, there's money left without being used. Give the money away. We should have done it last night because poor people need the money. Then our money for shopping, it's a new day. Hashem makes a new way in order to help people. They gave away the money for tzedakah. The Baal Shem Tov went back to his davening and everything was fine. Now, Kinelach, this is the test of the month. Hashem wanted the Yidden to know that each and every day is a brand new day. Hashem gives you each and every day. You don't have to save over. You don't have to save over the man, and you're not allowed to save over the man. In order that the Yidden should see and feel that each and every day is a brand new day and Hashem can give for that day. Later on, the man did not come the same for each person. It says like this. The man came in three different ways. The tzaddikim that were very, very strong in believing in Hashem. And when they went to bed at night, they said, I know tomorrow Hashem will give me my food. They woke up in the morning. The man was already by the doorstep. In other words, right outside of the tent. The man was right there. They didn't even have to go walking to get it. It came to them, right to them. Because their betachin, their trusting in Hashem was so strong, it made it that the food should come their way. And it was ready to eat just the way it was. The people that were very shvach in believing in Hashem, they woke up in the morning, they looked out the door, they didn't see anything. They looked out farther away. They also didn't see anything. They had to take their bowl and go schlepping far, far away in order to find their food. They went far away. They finally got it. But also, it wasn't just ready to eat. They had to do certain things to make it ready to eat. And the people that were nishtahin and nishtaher, they were in the middle, not exactly big tzaddikim, but not also shvach. So they had to walk a certain way to get it. Not so far away, but it wasn't close either. In other words, according to how much they believed and trusted in Hashem, that's the way Hashem helped them. And it's true today the same way. Like the Baal Shem Tov, it's also a story. One time, the Baal Shem Tov had no money, and he needed money. He walked up to a house. The Baal Shem Tov came up to this house. He knocks on the window. And he says, Rabbi Yid, I need money. And then he walked away. He didn't stay, he just walked away. A man in the house, all of a sudden, he hears a knock on the window, and he hears the words, Reb Yid, you know, Mr. Jew, I need money. Somebody needs money? He gets up, he goes over to the window, and he sees nobody is standing there. But then he sees that a person is walking away, already he's down across the yard, and he sees the Baal Shem Tov. And he knows that's the Baal Shem Tov. Oh boy, wait a minute. He knocked on my door, he knocked on my window, he says he needs money, but then he runs away. Didn't understand why he's running away, but because he knew who the Baal Shem Tov was, he went on and got some money, and he ran out the door, and he's chasing after the Baal Shem Tov, and he gives him money. He says, please, Rabbi Yisrael ben Baal Shem Tov. He says, please, Rabbi Yisrael ben Baal Shem Tov. He says, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, I'll be very happy to give you money. Please take it. But I don't understand. You knock on my door. You knock on my window and you ask for money. So why do you walk away? Why don't you stay there? So the Baal Shem Tov says like this. Very interesting thing. He says, look, the way the Eibishter made the world is that he says by Adam, you have to work in order to get your food. If Adam would have never eaten from the Eitz Hadas, so the food would have come for free like it did in Gan Eden, people wouldn't have to work at all to get food. They would just learn Torah and do mitzvahs, and Hashem would take care of them like Hashem did in Gan Eden. And the Malachim would serve them whatever they want, like I told you in Gan Eden, the food was right there without working. What happened when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas? There was a curse, and the curse was that a person has to work in order to get food. But the Baal Shem Tov says there's different ways of working by different people. Some people have to work harder to get their food, and some people have to work much less. And it depends on the connection with Hashem and the trusting in Hashem. And some people have to do almost nothing at all. So the Baal Shem Tov says, I know the way that I have to get my food is I have to do something. But all I had to do was knock on the window and say that I need food or I need money. After that, I could just walk away. Because then it wasn't important that you are the one that gives me the money or somebody else. All I had to do was knock on a window. I had to do something. After that, I didn't even have to wait around. I knew that Hashem would help me if I do something. Now, it happened what? That the man ran after him and gave him the money. But what would have happened if that man wouldn't have run after him? Something else would have happened and the Baal Shem Tov would have gotten money some other way. Do you understand? Because the strong betachin needs only a little bit, and then Hashem fills that. Like by the tzaddikim. They had such strong betachin in Hashem, Hashem gave the food right there. He brought it to them. They had to do something. They had to take a bowl and go out and get it, of course. Yeah. Okay, now that story shows you that some people have money. All they have to do is do a little tiny thing, and the money comes to them. Now that's like the man nowadays, the way it comes to tzaddikim, the people that really trust in Hashem, they do a small thing, and Hashem gives them what they need. It's still the man. It comes on their doorstep. It's not in a bowl, and it's not exactly the same white powder that you make a lechem in a shemayim on, but it's giving them what they need. And people that don't trust in Hashem, they still have to keep alive and they still have to get money and things, but it's much harder for them. Okay, Kinalach. Then came finally Erev Shabbos, and Moshe Rabbeinu started teaching them some of the rules of Shabbos. Now this is before the Torah was given, but they kept Shabbos before the Torah was given, and they had many rules of Shabbos, many laws. They had many laws. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, everybody should know that on Shabbos you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to take something from your house, from your tent, outside. or from the outside into your tent. So of course the people think, so what are we going to eat on Shabbos if every day we have to go out getting the man and we won't be allowed to carry it? It's going to be carrying. If we go out in the desert and get the man and bring it back, it's carrying. We're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. What are we going to eat? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you should know that on Erev Shabbos is going to fall a double portion of the man. Not a regular bowl, but you get two bowls. And one bowl will be for Erev Shabbos. And the extra bowl you'll keep for Shabbos, because you won't have to go out to get it, because it's not even going to come on Shabbos. Since you're not allowed to carry it, Hashem won't give it in the first place. But he'll give you double on Friday, on Erev Shabbos, and it'll last for Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. So you will be allowed Friday night for Shabbos to keep it over. That one time you will be allowed to keep it over. You won't have to get it, you'll be allowed to keep it over. And of course, this is why we have two challahs, Lechem Mishnah, on the table. It shows that on Erev Shabbos, which also includes the whole week in this idea, that Hashem gives you a bracha that you'll have enough for the week and also Shabbos, because we're not allowed to work on Shabbos. How do we get money for all the things we need on Shabbos? Shabbos, there's a lot of things you use. You can't work. So it shows that Hashem gives a double bracha, a bracha for what you need during the week and for what you need on Shabbos. He gives that already during the week. So we have Lechem Mishnah, two challahs, showing the double bracha. Now, the Yidden got busy gathering double bowls of man to get ready for Shabbos. Now, Dasan and Aviram decided, Kinalach, because they were very not nice, and they didn't like all of this covet that Moshe Rabbeinu was getting, that everybody listens, whatever he says, they listen, and they say the words of Moshe Rabbeinu are halik, and he tells us from Hashem. Now, everybody believed that. They had emuna in the tzaddik of Moshe Rabbeinu, like it says in the davening, v'ya'aminu ba'Hashem uv'Moshe avdoi. They believed in Hashem and in Moshe. The question is, believing in Hashem, you have to believe in Hashem, because believing means you don't understand it, you don't see it, you have to believe it. Do you see Hashem?
No.
No. You have to believe in Hashem. They believe in Hashem. Why does it say they believed in Moshe? You see a person there. Do I have to believe? Okay, here is a coat hanging. Do I believe the coat is there, or I know the coat is there? I mean, if it's right there in front of my eyes, I don't have to believe it. Something I know. I see it. Why does it say they believed in Moshe? He's a person. And that's the thing of Amunah Tzadikim. That is the whole idea of Emunah in a Tzadik. The Tzadik is not just the person you see with your eyes. A Tzadik is much more than what you see with your eyes. You're only seeing just the body of the person. You're seeing maybe he moves, he talks. But what's really going on, the helikot of the tzaddik, is a thing that is far beyond what we can understand. Like one time, there was a tzaddik, a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov named Reb Nochem Chernobler. Reb Nochem Chernobler. And his Talmidim said once, Rebbe, please show us a hidden tzaddik. We want to see one of the hidden tzaddikim. So he said, okay, I'll show you a hidden tzaddik. And he points to himself, I'm a hidden tzaddik. You're looking at one right now. They said, Rebbe, you're a tzaddik that we see. We see you're a tzaddik. We want to see a hidden tzaddik. He said, och and vey, that you think what you see, that's what I am. If you think what you see, what you know about, what that's what I am, so you don't understand at all what's going on. He says, whatever you see, that's not at all what's going on. It's much, much more than that. I'm a hidden tzaddik. Like, you know what an iceberg is? If there's a thing in the ocean, and it, you see, it's like a piece of ice sticking up. A ship, will stay far, far away from that little piece of ice sticking up, because under the water, there's a huge, huge piece of ice that you don't see, and you're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. This little part sticking up is only the little tiny part of it, and most of it is under the water. If they get too close, they're going to smash the ship. Because you only see the little bit, and you know if you see a little bit, there's a huge thing under the water. Now, kenalach, lahavdil, a tzaddik is the same thing. We only see a little part. Most of what the tzaddik is, we have no idea. It's only emunah. That's why we have to believe in Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation, the tzaddik in every generation.